Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. You've got questions about health savings accounts. We've got answers. We'll check in with Wall Street Journal reporter Ann Turgeson on how HSAs allow people to set aside money to pay for medical expenses tax-free. First, some money and market news you should know. Short-term vacation rental companies like Airbnb, Sonder, and Vrbo take a lot of heat from local governments, which accuse them of reducing housing supply. But the numbers show that those short-term rentals have not significantly contributed to U.S. housing costs. A study by Oxford Economics and commissioned by Vrbo owner Expedia found that over a four-year period, only 0.2 percentage point of the rise in inflation-adjusted rent could be attributed to the effects of short-term rentals. And for home sales, the impact of short-term vacation rentals was less than $9 on the average monthly mortgage payment. The Disney Plus streaming service is only about a week old, but stolen account usernames and passwords are already on sale on hacking forums. Disney says there's no indication of a security breach compromising passwords, and it hasn't said how many subscribers have had security problems. Disney Plus requires users to enter codes sent by email when changing account passwords, but it doesn't require those codes for logging in from new devices. The streaming service costs $7 a month or $70 a year. The hacked codes are going for $3. Some health insurance policies include health savings accounts, or HSAs. They allow people to save up money over the year, or many years, to use for medical expenses. And it turns out they're also a great savings tool. Let's bring in Wall Street Journal reporter Ann Turgeson to help us understand some key details and answer some questions that members of our audience had. So, Ann, HSAs are a fairly recently created savings tool. What do they allow people to do?
They have more tax benefits than 401ks and IRAs. They allow you to put money into an HSA account tax-free, and then it's tax-deductible, and then the money can build up tax-free. And then when you withdraw the money, if you use it for medical purposes, it's also tax-free.
But not everyone is eligible to open an HSA in which to make contributions.
Right. You have to have a high deductible health plan. It has to be a high deductible health plan that qualifies for an HSA. So it's not enough just to have a high deductible health plan. You need to ask and make sure that it's HSA qualified.
Now, an HSA should not be confused with a flexible savings account or an FSA.
So FSAs are also tax-advantaged accounts. You can put money in pre-tax, and you can use the money for medical expenses. But that's sort of an older type of account, and I think people recognize those accounts because of their use-it-or-lose-it feature. A lot of them function that if you don't use the money in that account by a certain deadline, usually it's like, you know, sometime in the early part of the year, you have to use your previous year's FSA or you lose the money. So a lot of people are nervous about those accounts.
An HSA is not use it or lose it.
Exactly. With the HSA, it's just like an IRA or a 401k. It's in your name and the money that you put in there is yours and you can, you know, you can leave it there for years and years if you want.
You know, our readers had a lot of good questions regarding HSAs, and one of them was what kinds of medical expenses can someone use their HSA money for?
First of all, you can use your HSA money in real, you know, in real time, like in other words, for the medical expenses that you're accruing right now. Some people actually prefer to pay out of pocket for their current medical expenses and leave their HSA money on tap so that it can grow for retirement purposes. Regardless of whether you use it now or in the future, it has to be used for medical purposes. So if you use it, if you want to use it, save that money for the future, you should save any unreimbursed medical receipts that you have now so that you can pull that money from the account in the future and match it to your current medical expenses. And the specific types of expenses that it covers are listed in IRS Publication 502, but just to give you a kind of a broad brush idea, they can include dental and vision care expenses. They can include, when you're in retirement, they can include Medicare premiums, except for Medigap, and long-term a portion of your long-term care insurance premiums if you purchase it, and obviously your medical bills.
And people might choose to wait until retirement to draw money out because their expenses might become more complex and expensive as they get older.
Right. So a lot of people use these accounts, as I mentioned before, you know, as a way to save for medical bills and retirement. But I think what I was also saying before is that if you pay out of pocket for current medical costs and you save your receipts, you don't even have to use your HSA in the future for medical costs. You can simply pull money out tax-free and pair it with a current, you know, with one of your past receipts that you never got HSA reimbursement for. And, you know, as long as basically you're pulling money out and you're matching it to a medical expense, whether it is in the past or the present, if you have the receipt and you can prove that mm-hmm. you spent it on medical needs and you were never reimbursed from your HSA, then that's okay.
But money can be taken out for non-medical purposes and just not even related to medical at all, but there's a catch.
So if you take it out for non-medical purposes and you can't match it against an unreimbursed receipt that you have, you're literally taking the money out and you're buying a car and, you know, you don't have any past medical expenses that were unreimbursed that, to justify that withdrawal, then in that case, you're going to have to pay income taxes on your withdrawal from the account. And if you're under 65, you'll also have to pay a 20% penalty.
If people contribute to their HSA, do employers typically match the amount of money that an employee puts in?
Some employers do, and they don't match the money. What they often do is they'll give you a certain, like maybe a lump sum to kind of help seed the account. Maybe it's a couple hundred dollars. Maybe it's $1,000 for family coverage. It varies by employer. And I'm sure plenty of employers probably don't put any money in the account at all.
And can HSA accounts be transferred from job to job?
Yeah, they're portable.
How would somebody go about tracking down a past HSA from a previous job?
So if you move jobs and you left an HSA behind, first of all, that's fine. You can do that if you want. But, you know, a lot of people like to have consolidate their accounts so they don't have sort of, you know, old accounts that they might forget in the future. So the best way to track it down is, you know, obviously if you've got statements that you got in the mail or by email, or if you remember, well, gee, you know, such and such company administered my plan, and I remember going online, you might be able to find an account that way. Otherwise, you should probably call your old employer, find out who their HSA administrator was when you were at the company, and hopefully you can track it down via the administrator. If worse comes to worse, look at your old taxes, and your HSA administrator would have submitted a form that would be appended to your taxes if you either contributed to an HSA or took money out of it.
And people would open an HSA perhaps for themselves, perhaps with a spouse, or maybe even a family plan, and there are limits to what you can contribute per year, depending upon the scenario.
Exactly. So for 2020, the limits are going up again slightly. The family total is $7,100 for the year. The individual total is $3,550. So, you know, it gets a little complicated if two spouses are working and they each have a high deductible plan and they each have an HSA. But, you know, basically the family limit is $7,100. So between the two spouses, they have to make sure they don't exceed that amount.
And if two spouses have an HSA and they get divorced or the marriage ends for whatever reason, what happens to the money?
You know, it's kind of hard to say because I think the divorce rules probably vary by state. But, you know, similar to an IRA or a 401k, when you have an HSA, it's in one person's name. There's no such thing as a jointly held HSA. But that said, again, similar to IRAs or 401ks, in divorces, these things often can be considered marital property, even though they're just in one person's name, and they often can be divided between two divorcing spouses, depending on, you know, the rules that the divorce is governed under.
All right. Really good information from Ann Turgeson, reporter here at The Wall Street Journal. Ann, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.